the worst moments of our life.
Hey, girl, hey, that's bad.
So speaking of, like, worst ever experiences.
That is the worst ever.
I don't feel so good.
And that was my worst audition ever.
How bad can it be?
And we feel the pain is best or funny. Welcome to Worst Ever.
Welcome to Worst Ever Podcast.
I'm your host, Christine Lakin.
Shut up, Christine. I'm your host, Alaa Khalid. So we got, there's a trial date, right?
There's a trial date set for
Miss Mac.
Well, there's two different conflicting information.
Two different things out there.
One thing I heard said that her trial starts in October, but the trial for him
is in January.
So maybe there are two different trials. It's got to be, right?
I think there's two separate trials. We have to go.
I'm not going to that. I'm not flying to the trial.
We fly
to the trial.
I know, but we do a week. We'll do the podcast there.
Via satellite.
No, we'll just do a podcast there. We'll get guests and, like, we'll talk about the trial and stuff. And we'll go actually to the trial. It's a public trial.
Every time I see these, like, you send me these articles and they come out and then I see these pictures of her and I just feel sad.
She looks good, though.
No, she doesn't look good.
No, she looks good.
Scared.
She's up for probably life in prison.
Oh, God.
So I would be a little nervous.
I don't think it's life in prison, but I do think it's. I think it's like 12 years.
No, I think it's like 15 to 20. She could start a sex cult in prison.
Oh my God, don't.
I mean, it'd be amazing.
Orange is the new.
Mac.
Don't.
Orange is the new Mac.
Don't. Don't. I'm going to crown. Don't make
okay,
me laugh.
Okay, don't. No, well, your cervix is a lemon, so that's probably, you're fine. You're sealed.
Oh, God.
All right, so this next guest.
Yes, our guest today.
Yeah, I went to high school with this person.
It's crazy how long you've known him.
And every time I call him, he answers, what do you want? Because he knows I want something. Because I don't want to hang out with him. I really don't. And so.
You just want him to come to our show.
Come to our show, pilot. Yeah.
Tag us.
He's got enough followers that he's worth something, you know. So we went to high school in Orlando together. And he.
Were you in like the same math class? Like,
no, no. He was younger than I was.
Okay.
I think we sort of crossed over my last year, my senior year. Like he was a freshman and I was a senior, somewhere around there.
Okay.
But we ran around the same circle with the Mouseketeers and the whole
thing.
He auditioned for the Mouse Club, did not get in.
I didn't know that.
Did not make it.
Rejected.
He got rejected and then happened to be, which probably worked to his benefit because he ended up having a normal life. Very talented musician. His acting is so-so. he landed in, he was in NSYNC.
It's amazing.
NSYNC, yeah. And his name is Mr. Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone.
Hello.
Which, by the way, when I asked Siri to call you, it goes Joey Fatone.
Why?
I don't know.
All of a sudden?
Yeah. Fatone.
How are you?
I'm so long since we've seen each other. Alaa. So he's known me and my brother for how many, I mean, we're over 20 years now.
Way over 20 years.
Yeah.
It's about 20, oh geez, probably 23, 24 possibly.
Joey, do you run in?
I graduated in 95.
Oh, I graduated in 90.
Yeah. So we weren't in the same.
Oh, it's with your sister.
Yes. You did the Wiz with your sister.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
That's how that. But we all, obviously Universal, same thing. Disney, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Revolved around everything and then. Obviously, going to the mall, going to merry-go-round.
Right. I used to work at the merry-go-round.
God, fucking merry-go-round.
Yep. MGRE. That's correct.
I owe you.
Used to get the denim jeans with the suede in front of them.
Of course. I'm sure you owned a pair of Z Cavaricci's as well.
Of course I did.
Joey, do you ever run into DJ Khaled?
Yeah. Well, I ran into him at the concert that he was opening up for Demi Lovato. I haven't seen Khaled in forever.
And you're
since
like,
high school.
But I mean, when you see each other, you're like, what's up?
No, it's okay, what's up, man? How's it going? Same thing with DJ Nasty.
Yeah, you see Nasty.
One of his other boys in Orlando. We've known. Same thing with all the Mollings.
Yeah.
Not the Mollies, the Mollings.
Yeah, are they the Mollings?
Well, Leonard, Lenny, and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, that do stuff for your brother every once in a while, but they run around and hold this can. And it's like, it's funny because it's like everybody, it's weird. Dr. Phillips had a lot of people come out of that high school.
Yeah.
Like the world famous Alaa Khalid.
I did a movie with someone who I went to high school with and didn't know that we were in high school together. And I did Can't Hardly Wait with her. And
right.
I can't remember her name.
Not Amber, was it?
I think it was Amber.
Yeah.
Anyways, she's like, we're at the table.
Tamblyn?
Benson.
Benson. Oh,
Amber Benson? If yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think I know you.
Straight.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm at the table read at Sony, and she walks right up to me. She goes, "Hi, Ala." And I was like, "Hi." And she's like, "We went to high school together." And I was like, "What?"
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's great. It's, well, yeah, it had me, obviously Ala, yeah. His brother, DJ Khaled, AJ Brzezinski, who was a baseball player, Johnny Damon, baseball player. Right. You had Luis Fonsi, who was singing with me, that did Despacito.
Oh, yeah.
The guy that wrote Fresh Off the Boat, graduated from DP.
No shit.
Ooh.
I can't remember his damn name, but yes, because it's all take place in Florida.
Oh, right.
Place,
oh,
it's all about God. Florida and Disney.
Wayne Brady.
Wayne Brady's another one, graduated as well. Robert Ash, actually, a buddy of mine, Rob Ash, he's the head editor of Conan now.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually, when I went to go see Fonzie perform at Conan, Rob was there. A buddy of Rob was there from high school.
So it's funny.
Weird how many people, even Joe Mobihill, who's my manager, worked yeah. with me at Universal, and now he's my manager and manages Boyz II Men. So it's weird how that high school has come out of, like, and a lot of Broadway people. Tony Azbeck is another guy that got nominated for Best Actor on a Tony. He's there. Who's one of the other guys, too, who's doing the genie now? Michael Scott. Who plays the genie on Aladdin?
Yeah.
He did the one here in LA. Michael Scott did. And he, dude, it's all from DP.
Yeah, Dr. Phillips. Listen,
I know Michael Scott.
Parents, if you want your child to be in entertainment, send them to Dr. Phillips High School.
Yeah. It's a good magnet program.
Yeah, it's an amazing magnet
program. It's like the fame of the South.
Basically. It is. But it wasn't magnet when we were there.
No, when you weren't there, it wasn't. My senior year became finally officially a magnet program, theater arts program.
I mean, I created that. Not only do I save lives one podcast at a time, but.
Yeah.
I helped create a program there at Dr. Phillips.
He just doesn't go away. I just rolled my eyes back so far that it hurt.
He just doesn't go away.
I know.
Is what it is.
No.
He, like, every time I feel as if I'm, and he calls me, "Oh, I need you to go to this school to do this interview for Karen Ruggiero." Then it's, "Hey, I need a favor for World's Worst Taking a Shit. And I need you to do this for me. Can you do it?" "Sure, I'll host it." Why not?
Yeah, he's going to do it. That's sad.
I'm waiting for the day when I actually ask Ala for a favor.
That'll be the day. I got a question. So as Ala mentioned, you auditioned for Mickey Mouse Club, did not make it.
Made it to the final 10 in Orlando, but never did the screen test of the boot camp.
So you never did the camp?
No.
Well, that makes two of us.
Yeah,
I didn't make it either.
See,
mm-hmm. I didn't even make it to Florida.
See, I made it. When I auditioned in Florida, it was crazy because it was just an open cattle call.
Right.
So there was about 1,700 people, I think, at Matt Casella. I remember Matt was there, and I was like, I got there early too. So I was there like 7 a.m. I went and auditioned, and the guy says, "All right, cool, we're gonna have you read." And he puts me in another room. I wait for a while. I come back out. I read the thing. He goes, "All right, cool, we're gonna have you there." He kept bringing me back every time. I'm going, and I literally went up to him and went, "What am I doing here? Like, what do you keep asking me to come back? He's like, "I need to put you on tape at the end. So go do dinner, get the hell out of here and come back." He said, I said, "Okay." So at the end of everything, I did the tape and then that was it. They said, "Thank you." And I was done. But
how old were you?
Gosh, you were 16, in high school. Yeah.
16,
yeah.
15, 16 years old.
So I think you were too old.
When did?
No, because it was around the same, me and JC were the same age. And that was the same year that they got casted. It wasn't
casted is not a word. Thank you.
It isn't? All right. So when I came an employee.
Just when you got cast.
I like casted. You didn't, I like casted away.
Casted.
It's like casted away.
No, there's
like
no that. Casted.
Well, when I got casted,
I'm very comfortable with Joey, so I can talk back.
He can listen to me.
Wait.
Go ahead.
No.
JC looked younger than you. But he looked younger than you.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, I didn't have facial hair.
JC looked like a baby.
Well, back then I looked like a baby too. It only
looked
like a baby now.
You look the same, dude.
No. We got white beards.
When did NSYNC start and how did that start?
Literally right after high school. I mean, like it was like, I was rehearsing right around the time I graduated high school. I was still working at Universal trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do in my life. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was going to probably do some sort of entertainment or even go auditions on cruises and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
Normally.
Exactly. So that's usually the normal transition. Right. You go from theme park to maybe cruise and then move on.
Right.
But I was singing and dancing at Universal. I went to Pleasure Island, happened to run into Chris, who I've known from singing over in one of the venues at Universal. And also, of course, I knew JC and Justin from the Mouse Club. Right. We went to Pleasure Island and we were over at A-Trax is where it was.
I love A-Trax.
So A-Trax was this dance club there.
Yeah.
And I ran into JC and I ran into Justin. And I ran into Chris and I was like, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" You know, like, "Oh, we're getting a group together." I said, I was singing in a group and my group, which was with Fonzie from Despacito, the Despacito guy, we always tell them that.
Mm-hmm.
But Luis Fonzie and these two other guys I was with, Eric and Joel, they went to college and I didn't even go to college. I couldn't even afford to do that shit. So I was like, I can be in a group. I said, my boys aren't in a group anymore. I'm in some sort of another group, but they're not that great, but let's see if this works. And I did a demo tape, which was absolutely horrible. I said, listen, just come see what I do. I sing over at the Beetlejuice show, watch what I do. And if you like it, great. If not, I was over it at that time.
Yeah.
So I went and did like this audition per se. And then we went up and I met with Lou Pearlman and we just sat there and we started talking. He's like, hey, we'd love to be in the group. There was another guy that was going to be in the group, but we kicked him out. Do you have anybody that sings bass? And I got my boy Jason.
Well, wait a minute. That's Jason. His father was our music teacher.
Oh, yeah. Wow. He's
our choral director. Okay. Yeah, it's crazy. So I got Jason involved. Jason came in. He was like, yeah. And then realized it was like this somewhat of a boy band, New Kids on the Block of something that he did not want to do.
That's not what happened. Can I tell you what happened?
Oh, please tell.
I'm going to tell you exactly what happened.
I want to know the truth because he lied to me.
He totally lied to you. I'm going to tell you the exact truth. So I was living in L.A., and I get a call from Jason and he goes, I need to ask you a question.
So this was your doing then?
No, get ready. No, get ready. Cause this is why there's so much turmoil between us. So he calls me and he goes, hey, I need your advice. And I go, what is it? He goes, well, I'm in this group with JC, Joey, Justin, and I didn't know the other guys. Lance wasn't there.
So, no, it was just us. That's right.
It was just Chris. And and I go, okay. And he goes, and I'm in this other group. And it was mostly, I guess there was some like African American guys and it was just another group. And I go, okay, well, what's the dilemma? He goes, well, I have to decide which group I want to be in. And I go, well, that's a no-brainer. I go, the one with Justin and JC.
Right.
Because they were on the Mouse Club and they have a huge following, right? He's like, yeah, but I'm looking at this contract and it looks really bad. And I go, Jason, I'm going to tell you right now, do not make the fucking mistake of not joining this group.
What happened?
He's like, all right, you know, I'll think about it. I was like, so what did he do? He quit the group to join this other group, which nothing ever happened out of it.
Right.
And then NSYNC fucking blows up a year later. And I was like, you're an idiot.
That sucks.
And the crazy thing was too, is we didn't really have, again, like an audition. Right. Lou wanted to make it more organic than like, because Backstreet was actually auditioned a lot of them were. So he wanted to make it organic. So he literally said, Chris, find some guys. That's exactly how it went down. So we all kind of got our brains together and talked to Jason. Jason was like, I don't want to do this. And he even said, he's like, I don't want to be bubblegum boy band kind of thing. He wanted to be more like hip hop and R&B. I'm like, all right, well, it's up to you. But the crappy part about it is when we went to go sign the contract, he didn't call. He didn't show up. He didn't say nothing.
Typical Jason.
So we were like, oh my God, what do we do? And we were devastated by it because of the fact that we were like, okay, we got this together. Let's make this work.
Right.
I get, you know what? I think one of the things was, I think all of us were so hungry and he doubted himself maybe. Yeah.
He didn't have enough. I love him to death. And I still to this day love him to death. And you know, he's got things that are going on or whatever. And I get it. But he lacks the confidence. And to be honest with you,
lie to me.
I don't know if he would have been a good fit anyways. I don't know if physically if he could dance.
You know what though? But just like even Lance, not to say that Lance was a terrible dancer, but Lance and Chris were the ones that had a little bit more trouble picking the ups because that's something that they never really did.
Right.
You know, you had JC and Justin who were doing it 24/7. I was learning the choreography at Universal, so there is choreography there. They didn't really do that much choreography. Lance did Attaché, which was a singing group where they just moved their arms and hands.
Right.
They clapped.
So Lance was the person that's who you had
that's
to find.
That's who replaced.
Found the bass.
Yeah, you replaced.
We had to find somebody that sang low because Jason was the bass.
I mean, they found Lance like literally on the street corner or something. I'm not kidding.
They actually called up Justin's vocal coach. And it was a vocal coach that was in Memphis. And he said, listen, I do these tapes where I send it to this group out of Mississippi. Because we literally said, we need like a 16-year-old that sings like a low F. Do you have anybody that knows how to sing a low F that low with a deep voice at 16 years, which usually either you change your voice or you don't. It's either there or not.
Right.
So he can sing a freaking low F. We heard him over the phone. Robin Wiley, who was our vocal coach, basically we flew him in. We explained to his parents that, you know, just if you don't want to do it, it's just a trip to Disney. His mom actually said no from the first out of the get-go. Lance finally convinced his mom to take him there because it was during homecoming. It was all the stuff. It was, you know, right around, I think his junior year.
So where was really he from? Where
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Oh, he was in Mississippi. Yeah, he was living in it. Basically, we called him out of Mississippi. Think about that. You get a random phone call from somebody to say, hey, you know the Mickey Mouse Club? You want to fly? I mean, think about it. You'd be skeptical too. You'd be like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Like, and why are you calling me?
Yeah. And at the time, Mouse Club had wrapped. It was done. Mm-hmm. Right. It was over. The series.
Yeah.
So they, you know,
they were looking to do so.
And it was so great. The timing couldn't have been more perfect.
Wow.
Now the whole Lou Pearlman thing, God rest his soul, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
I mean, I don't know how to, you know, it's a, that was album two for you guys when you guys
Yes,
I dissolve so. That.
Really three, because the I think the Christmas album came out before that,
right?
I think.
And
gosh,
I mean that was a big. So long. That was a big court.
It was, yeah. It was one of those crazy things where, you know, we started to find out as we got older what was going on with Lou Pearlman, what he was doing, and again, he was a great businessman for himself, you know, and Lance just did a documentary that's going to be coming out on I believe on YouTube or whatever. It's actually really, really freaking good because it explains kind of the story about Lou, but then it rewinds even back even further and interviews his family, or not his family so much of his personal friends and people that he really hung out with. And that you don't see in like American Greed. They've actually did a documentary on American Greed, and you get to see things in here and you hear the stories. These are a lot of people. You hear from Johnny, you'll hear from Johnny Wright, you'll hear from Lance, you hear from JC, you'll hear from AJ, you hear some of the guys from O-Town. So you'll hear a lot of different interviews from all these different people about Lou Pearlman, but then it's crazy because it even goes back further, like I said, from how he became what he became and how he was able to manipulate things to where it seemed like he was doing, you know, part of the transcontinental airship, which is something he completely made up. It's unreal, the story.
When does that come out?
I'm not exactly sure, actually. It should be coming out soon, though. It should be coming out in the next month or so, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see that.
So regardless of, like, Jason leaving the group, was he right in terms of, like, this is a shit contract? This is not a good deal?
He wasn't I think he – you know what? With the initial one was, even when I had my dad even look at it, we had a lawyer kind of – but he even said – Lou was like, oh, you know, I'll get my lawyers to look at it. Don't worry. Because I'm going to sign on as 1/6 member. So I'm looking out for you. So you're like, okay, well, it sounds pretty legit. Then if he's going to become 1/6 of the group, then obviously he has our backs. So we're like, all right.
He's taking the same deal we're taking.
Exactly. How the frick do we know? Not knowing that he was taking a management fee as well. He was also the lawyers on top of that. So he was taking a lawyer cut on that as well. Anything we ever did was recouped.
All the everything. He owned any kind of property.
Yeah. Well, any in a sense of, well, he rented a house for the rest of the guys. I visit there and was there a lot, but I still live with my parents. I was like, I don't want to be recouped on the house. Right. I don't want to even, there's no reason. I live with my parents. Right. I'm not that far away. I'll make that work. But the funny part is that anytime we went on dinners, anytime we went out, he's like, nothing but the best. I'll take you out here. I'll take you out there.
Y'all all were of that stuff,
we were paying for it and had no idea. Yeah.
Which is crazy. And then you guys spent a lot of time in the beginning in Europe, like, or in Germany.
We were in Germany, the GAS territory, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. We were in that whole area for about 2.5 years almost.
Yeah, because that, at that time with boy bands, it was like the launching ground for that kind of music. And then if they could like succeed there, then it would be brought back to the United States.
Right. I remember going over, I think I was like 18, 19. And I remember going over, I had a friend that lived in London. So this would be around like 1997, 98. Yeah. And that was, boy bands were the
huge
thing.
Over there, yeah.
Take that. And they were just, so yeah.
It was that wave. It was weird because the same thing, like anytime we came, when we first started, Lou wanted us to break here in the States first before Backstreet did when they were over in Europe. But that wasn't even happening over here. Grunge was still here.
Yeah.
Nirvana, all that kind of stuff. So we went to everyone's door and sang in front of them legit. And they were just like, that's great guys, but we don't have a market for it. Yeah. There's nothing for it right now.
Yeah.
And then we went, that's why we went, and Lou was like, screw it. I don't know what to do. Let's get a hold of Johnny Wright. He's been with Backstreet Boys. And that's how that whole thing kind of trickled to where.
And Johnny wrote which song?
Johnny wrote, our manager. Johnny was our manager.
Oh, Johnny was the manager. No, I'm thinking of Teddy Riley. I don't know why I'm thinking Teddy Riley.
He just got paid though. We did the remake of that.
Oh, okay.
He did it with us. Yeah, Teddy Riley did that. But we did our first song though when we flew to Germany. We were busting our ass for about 2.5 years with the same 4 or 5 songs. We did over at the beach club over at Pleasure Island. Yeah. We did a demo with the guys. Put it out there for about 2.5 years, nothing really happened. And we're like, what the hell do we do? So they're like, oh, well, this German group, a German recording company, which is BMG, just lost Backstreet Boys. So they're looking for a boy band. And Johnny came in and said, hey, I know you lost the Backstreet Boys from us, meaning even Johnny, and goes, but I have another band that's even better and can sing better. So he goes, well, let's see it. So they flew down to Orlando. They came, saw us for a day, two guys from Germany and one American guy. They literally looked at us and were like, all right, we like the performance. We left. They sent us to say that we're going to call you back maybe in a couple of weeks. But first, should we get rid of Lance? Is what they actually said. They said they wanted to put a black guy in instead of Lance.
That's right.
And we were like, Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but we've been rehearsing and we've been with this guy and we actually bonded over about a year.
It's been like 2 years.
Yeah, it's been like 2 years of just bonding with each other. So no, that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And the guy was like, well,
just because of they wanted more diversity.
They wanted diversity. Okay. They wanted like a color me bad. And one, the guy said, and they were from the States, the one person that said this, I'll never forget it. And he's like, it'll never work. I'm like, okay. And that was it. And that's the last time we saw him. And he used to be signed. He was with RCA, I believe. And when we came around to do stuff, we're like, oh, didn't work, huh? Did it? And the guy was basically,
of course. So wow. Then obviously lots of success with NSYNC. You're now like, you're
out of my mind.
You've got more money than God.
At one point. I didn't know if I had, you know what the funny part is? Is I never knew exactly how much money.
And it's really obvious. Cause let me explain something to you real quick. This guy here went from normal neighborhood.
Let's not talk about this guy.
I'm going to talk about your pool.
Oh, no, go ahead. No, okay. I'm just saying.
So he builds his house in Orlando, right? And I would go over like every once in a while during the holidays, as long as there was rice balls or whatever.
Right. Exactly.
I love a rice ball.
He called me, goes, I'm coming in from New Orleans. Where are you?
Yeah.
Or every New Year's, I know he'd be around. Someplace around the holidays. Yeah. He's around at some point.
So I go to his house and I'm like, it's like in the backwoods of like Orlando. Uh-huh. Like it's near Disney. It's, you know, but it's Swamp like,
lands.
It's in the Dr. Phillips area.
It's in the Dr. Phillips area. Yeah.
Okay.
So I drive to this house. It's gigantic, like entranceway, driveway. I walk into the house. I look outside the back, right? And there's this, when I say, like a pool that belongs at like Wet n Wild.
Oh my God, this is like my dream.
Because it was.
And I go, Joey, what is like the water bill? Like, what are you doing? Because I'm like, you know, I'm in my late 20s, 30s, and I'm going,
the water bill.
I'm like, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Like, are you a moron?
Water bill was free. Don't worry about it.
It was not free.
It was well water. Yeah.
That was well water?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's why it had that weird sulfury smell.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why your balls smell like sulfur.
So, and then he would like buy like the kit car or the, mm-hmm. like, I'm like, who are you?
Making it like to make a car?
When you're,
in the driveway? No, like kit like from,
from
Knight
Rider. Yeah, from Knight
Rider.
You meant like it came and you put it together.
No. That kind of like, K-I-T-T.
Like he bought the Knight Rider
car. Knight Rider. Yeah.
Like the Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I'm going, what do you need this car? Like, I'm going, he's got a family. He's got kids.
I had a kid and I was still a kid.
I get
it. So when you have a lot of money, you go, well, crap, I'm going to buy
Seth
stuff
MacFarlane
that I want.
Bought the DeLorean. See? I mean.
Exactly.
Have to say, it was kind of a chick magnet for him.
Right. But Seth MacFarlane isn't in a boy band that you know that eventually there is going to be no boy band.
But what's funny about that is you when you do that and you're in that height of that career, height of that moment, and even your accountants are saying, don't worry about it. That's when you go, okay, I won't worry about it. Right. Because if he's not worried, I'm not worried. Little did I know that, you know, every month a lot of money was going out and not a lot of money was coming in anymore after NSYNC. So
sure.
Could I have lived a lot longer in a sense of if I had lived in a smaller means in a smaller house? Hell yeah. But would I ever change it? Hell no.
No, I mean,
I had 10 years of stupid house. Literally, it was ridiculous. It really was. Because as you get older, you really start to realize, and you do, what is important in your life?
Sure.
What do you really want in your life? Do you want a big house the whole time? And then all the headache that goes with it? Or do you want to keep a little bit smaller means and travel the world?
Did you make money off the house when you sold it?
No, it broke out pretty much even.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At least
I broke out. Thank goodness. Yeah. Cause it was on the market for a while. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to take a huge hit.
Yeah. Cause that, I mean, this house was like,
it was 10,000 square feet.
Oh my God.
That's just the house alone. My garage was about 3,200 square feet. I had a 5-car garage. It looked like a barn. My backyard, the pool itself was on an acre of land. I had 4 acres. So my pool's on an acre of land. It was like 165,000 gallons, I think the pool was. Yeah,
when I say it belongs in Wet n Wild, I'm not joking.
I had a hibachi Benihana table in this grotto area. I had a pool grotto.
Oh my God.
Had a full tube slide that you got to go all up the spiral staircase.
Yeah, no,
it
was
all the way down and out. Yeah.
Christine, I wanted to like charge people to come in. You know what I mean?
It's so funny because every time I went and traveled, every time I went to like whatever, some exotic or some fun hotel, anything I saw at that hotel, I wanted to grab from it. So like the tiki torches that we had, I was like, oh my God, they had these tiki torches that were gas operated. You just turn it, light it, and they're on the whole time. I'm like, I want those in my house.
Someone
and
just put some gas lines under my the concrete.
My house was almost basically like a small, I had to get a big, what was it? A big freaking electrical unit just due to the fact that it was almost basically run like a small hotel.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you also have to, now you have to also have a staff.
I had a buddy of mine who worked the grounds 24/7.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, it's
he was
like
there all the time. And then I had a maid come in, a woman come in to clean the house. She'd start one morning and go all literally from like 6 a.m. to about 7 p.m. And then literally like 2 to 3 days later, come back and do it again. Because it's just, the house was just so massive. Yeah. That any, you know, you get dust, you get this, you get that. So yeah, we always tried to keep it obviously clean. Lawn was ridiculous.
Oh,
lawn
yeah.
was
well, that's why I always made fun of you.
Out of control.
That's why I made fun of you to you, by the way, not behind his back. But
hey, you live and learn.
Well, no, because I was like, this is no wonder why he just takes any job that's offered to him. Because I'm like, what?
If I did, I'd be doing a lot other crazy.
I was like, this guy doesn't know how to say no. In fact, I told Joe Melville at like, we were in New York, we were having lunch. By the way, Joe Melville, complete asshole, but love him to death. Went to high school with him. So I meet him in New York. I was working on Runway and I'm meeting him for lunch in New York. We met at the in Union Square for lunch. And at the end of the lunch, I'll never forget, he goes, he picks up the check. And I go, he goes, I got this. And I go, okay, great, thanks. He goes, it's been a good month.
Ew.
I'm like, you're a fucking slime ball, dude. I go, oh, it's been a good month, has it? I was like, yeah, it's been a good month. He goes, I go, no worries, dude. At that time, he had in Vogue, too.
Yeah.
He had in Vogue and Boys to Men. And, you know.
Oh, okay.
I'm the only white guy here.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, yeah. So I say to Joe Mobihill, I was like, you know, it's okay for Joey to say no to things. Like, he should probably start being a little more selective on these job opportunities. Like, what do you mean? I was like, I mean, he's going to get pigeonholed, you know,
Thank God, not yet.
Yeah. But you did a lot of Food Network shows.
I did a bunch of crap. Yeah. It's funny. So far, I haven't sucked. Anybody's ever told me that's a good part about the stuff that I've been doing. Like, meaning like I've done cooking stuff.
Yeah.
Hosted.
Oh, you're a good host. You're really good at hosting.
I try. It's just that the shows aren't the greatest. That movie
that you did with Lance.
That's the blockbuster smash hit On the Line.
On the Line. I mean,
if you haven't seen it,
please watch it.
Yep. So it was on Netflix for a while. I don't think it's on there anymore. It was on there.
Well, I'm sure they took it off.
They did. limited time. It's a limited time.
Yeah. If you can find it somewhere, I'm sure it's like Chinese. You can get it like bootleg China or whatever. But I mean, that work, dude.
Hey, but think about it. Right after that, I went right into my Big Fat. Actually, my Big Fat Greek Wedding was shot before that.
Right. Well, I wish that would have came out first.
We all do. We all wish.
That was a fun project to work on.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Well,
the weirdest thing about it was to come back 15 years later and do the second one. It was holy cow.
But did that one do well? I don't know.
It did really well. Yeah. Actually, Universal was very happy because it's weird though. It's one of those things. And as you know, you've seen things where it becomes a pilot or it's independent and it's fun because everybody's incorporating their shit and doing everything else. And then the minute you get a major company involved, then it becomes too many cooks in the kitchen. And who's doing this? This has to be right. And this, don't get it wrong.
It's
obviously
stressful.
The budget was better.
Yeah. Catering was probably a little nicer.
Oh yeah, a little bit nicer, but it was just, it's just weird when that happens. Cause then you just, it just sometimes the companies do work together and they work well. Then sometimes you watch and you're just like, oh my gosh, it's just, they're taking over everything.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I love doing independent films because it does feel like very much, it's like you're doing theater. Everyone's sort of like excited to be there every day. Everyone's just making it work, like putting their back into it. And then, doing like a big studio thing, it can just be very impersonal
sometimes,
and kind of cold.
Yep.
Let's go back to NSYNC for a little bit.
Oh God,
At the end of the days of NSYNC, right? How do you guys dissolve?
How did it dissolve?
Yeah.
In a sense?
How did it go down?
Well, how it really went down was we were in, it was weird. It was really weird because I think the Jive record company was really wanting to push Justin to do his own album. And he wanted to do his own album. So we were like, all right, dude, go ahead. Because we want to take a break. We've been busting our asses. Right. So it's like, you know, let's take a couple of months off. Lance wanted to become an astronaut. Justin started doing his own stuff.
Right.
I did absolutely nothing because I had a kid, so I want to spend time with her.
Right.
So I was just chilling out, grilling and barbecuing. JC was writing some stuff, and Chris was just Chris. And what happened was he came out with the album and everything else. He wasn't doing the greatest or whatever. He wanted to get out there. Obviously, MTV was doing this thing, and we were like, okay, well, when are we getting back together? Like, well, after he does his performance, blah, 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 he's going to do like a small little performance thing, I think for a month or so, and then we'll get back together. Okay, great. Didn't hear anything. well, he's going to be going on tour now. And all of a sudden it becomes, oh, he's going to be going on tour now, blah, blah, blah. And right around that time, we had our challenge for the children charity event. And mm-hmm. I think Lance missed one. And then when we came back, all of us were together. We did a national anthem for the place. I think it was in Miami, I believe. I don't mm-hmm. know if it was Miami. Miami. Yeah, it was Miami. So then we all got in a room and all of a sudden it was like, you know, hey man, you know, literally it was like, you know, I'm doing this, doing that. Justin was like, you know, the career's taken off solo wise and Jive wants me to do A, B, C, and D. And I think it's time that we, you know, take a bigger break. Basically what it was. So it's weird because it wasn't like we're done, over, it's out, blah, blah, blah. It was one of those things of like, okay, shit, what am I going to do now? It was like, I was like, what the hell am I going to do now?
So we're not recording another album?
So we're not
album?
Recording. Like, yeah, we're exactly. Not gonna, so you're saying is there's no tour. So, no,
right.
So that means there's no money, which
and that,
means
and
now
that private jet that I've been using.
Yeah, basically, I have to figure out what the hell I have to do. Yeah. You know, and it was, and again, it wasn't one of those things of like, you're a douche. It was more of those things of, because I think if the shoe was on the other foot and I had to think about that, if there's something that I really wanted to do, for instance, I love doing a lot more acting than even singing sometimes.
Right.
So I always wanted to do something. And that's when I got the chance to do Rent on Broadway.
Right.
So that was the minute we said no, I was like, cool. I'm like, I should work. I should do something.
By the way, you were great in Rent.
Thank you.
And you were great in Little Shop.
That's a tough one. As you know,
because, that's my favorite musical ever is Little Shop of Horrors. And Rick Moranis was my idol growing up.
Really?
Oh, I was obsessed. Like when Carrie Russell was doing, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids.
Right. Whatever, you're like,
she brought me to set.
No, so way.
I have to meet Rick. Like when I went to school in New York at AMDA, we had to do life studies. First semester, you did him 10 years older than you. And then second semester, you did 10 years younger than you. I was stalking Rick Moranis' child because he lived in my neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
And I would follow him and he was my life study.
Like I
was
obsessed with
you know how I get obsessive compulsive. So yeah, so you did the Broadway thing. So then you guys break up. Justin is taken off. Like he's up like now.
Yeah, he got in at the right time, believe it or not. And the reason why I say that is because when we first came out and went to Europe and did all this stuff, even in the UK, right when we were supposed to release our album, that's when Princess Diana passed.
Right.
Literally right when our album was coming out. So it completely took a turn for us. We basically just was like, all right, we need to get out of UK right now and let them mourn, let them deal with it. We'll come back. Never came back. But at the time, Gone was coming out and Girlfriend came out right when we were finally splitting. That opened up the door for him, I think, in the UK, really, for him. Because a lot of people know him now. It's just Justin. They don't really know. They know NSYNC, but they really don't.
Right.
So it opened up that and then it blew up and obviously in the States and everything else. So now he blew up. I'm doing Broadway stuff and shows here and there. And now what? What were you going
to say? No, I was going to say, you guys, so then you did, but you did do, like, you did the Super Bowl together mm-hmm. recently.
No, we did MTV Awards.
Oh, MTV Awards, where there was a rumor that you guys were going to get back together.
Good luck.
That's right. How was that process after all the years of being separated and not working together, coming back to do?
It was funny because he called us individually. He was just like, hey, I'm getting this award for MTV. And obviously it's about like an icon about my journey and history. And obviously if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be where I am. I'd love you guys to perform with me. I'm doing this whole performance thing. We'll do a couple of, you know, a, kind of like a mashup kind of thing. And that's it. And we were like, oh yeah, you know what? We'll support you. Of course. So we flew to Miami, him and Jay-Z finished their tour. We started rehearsals there, kept it as quiet as we possibly can. Even when we went to New York, we flew to New York, we did the rehearsal, tried to keep that as quiet as we can. People started finding out, obviously. And then it was interesting because it was one of those things because it happened so fast and it was only like 30 seconds, I think 35 seconds mm-hmm. longer, a minute, mm-hmm. not even. It was one of those things, it was as if a person had passed away and came resurrected back to life. It was one of the most weirdest things I've ever experienced because the minute we stood there and the thing came, we started to come up on the elevator, people were just like, what the? Like, cause they just couldn't, people that have been fans and especially the like Ariana Grande, like Taylor Swift, all those people were fans of ours. And sure. They may have seen us perform, but haven't seen us perform now that they're at that level of what they're at now.
And at your age.
And it snapped, but it snapped for them. Yeah. Then we're like, they're like, oh, jumping and dancing. Sure. And like, and everybody was like, oh my God, it's amazing. Same thing. I was walking. I remember too, I was walking down the hallway after we performed and Drake was there with a whole bunch of his boys and stuff. So as I literally walked by, as we passed, I said, hey Drake, I just want to say what's up and, you know, enjoy your work. He goes, no, man. He goes, pleasure is mine. And it's funny that you say about what was going on. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, he goes, I'm a fan of you, bro. He goes, I watch you. I saw you in Rent. I saw you in Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, that's awesome.
I saw you do all that shit, dude. He goes, much props. I have mad respect for you. I was like, cool, man. I was like, that's weird. You know, because you don't
want to do an album together, Drake? Yeah.
you don't know. It's so weird with those things because you don't know who really was inspired by you.
Right.
Or who even gave a crap about you in that sense.
Well, so the MTV the Music Awards, right, with Justin. So I'm just curious because I'm trying to stir the pot.
Go ahead, go for it.
Is Justin in his own room and then you guys?
Yes. But okay. He was with us most of the time in the other room.
So I know Justin. So yeah. I know he, listen.
So it wasn't
Justin,
like that. He had to do a 14-minute performance. 14-minute performance where he's all over the stage and everything. And he's only doing, a couple of seconds with us. So obviously he's getting ready and mentally to figure out what he has to do. But then also he came, and come to hang over. It's always an interesting thing in that sense because people try to make it more than it is. Thanks, Allah.
Yeah.
But I
know it's not true because I know both of them so well.
So people, I know it's always that kind of thing. People are like, oh, well, what about this? And how come that? I was like, well, he's doing his own thing. Right. People don't really think and realize.
The only person I think might, because I don't know this person as well. Like I know Lance pretty well. Right. And I know JC very well because I've known JC since he started Mouse Club. And I know Justin, obviously, and you. But Chris. Like Chris is a little off the he's on his own off. he's a little bit in his own
Chris,
little space.
Chris plays to the beat of his own drum sometimes,
right.
But
right.
He's actually been doing really good. He's now pretty much a family man. He's got a kid.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, 10 months old, almost a year old now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a little boy. Nash is his name. Nash, and he lives in Nashville. How funny is that? Go figure.
Is he producing?
He's just chilling, being a family man right now. I think he's done a couple of voiceover stuff every once in a while and stuff like that. But he's mostly really trying to be home. He's been producing things every once in a while, but it's more or less just like anything. When you have a kid, it's a whole nother level. You just keep.
Speaking of kids and family man, you're a single dad.
I am. Well, not really.
How old's your daughter?
Not exactly single.
Well, I'm talking about in the sense of you're not married.
Correct. Well, I'm separated still. I'm still.
The divorce isn't final?
It hasn't been final yet.
Is there a legal, are you guys going through it?
No, thank goodness we're not butting heads. It's just we have a mediator. And
that's perfect.
That takes forever just because we're just trying to get things on the same level, make sure we're right. Sometimes she's like, well, I don't agree with this. And sometimes I'm like, well, I don't agree with that. It's just like anything.
Right.
And basically you almost start to make it become a business.
Oh, what is a business?
Of course.
Well, you're going to be paying a shitload of money.
That too.
I mean, yeah.
How long has the separation been going on?
About 5 years now.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no, this is the real deal. Real.
Again, not many people know about it just because, not the fact that I don't want to talk about it, just the fact that when and how and how it's talked about. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
also,
meaning, like,
your wife
would be like, oh my God, you're divorced, blah, blah, blah. It's his girlfriend. He's with her.
Also, your future ex-wife. I mean, she stayed in the background a lot.
Yeah, she never was in.
Yeah. By the way, they were high school sweethearts.
I know since I was 16.
Yeah.
No way.
So
I didn't know
it's
that.
It's
for almost 20 years.
And their families are both families are very families. They're pretty. I don't know how they are now, but
well, everybody has jobs and works, and as they get older, it's just in general it does separate in a sense. But we still keep in contact and stuff. Obviously, I mean, I've known the woman for 20 years, and their family.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you don't just cut ties and say screw you. In a sense, you could. But that's something that I would never do.
Your kid has grandparents.
But you have so much history. So it's kind of like, let's make this work. Because obviously, as you get older, a lot of times, especially again, we were 16, you grow apart. You get older, you grow apart.
Well, you don't know any better.
Different likes.
But also, she was in it when you weren't in NSYNC. Yep. And she was in it through NSYNC.
Right.
And I can't imagine what you were like after NSYNC. Do you know what I mean? Like you, because it's like going through a midlife crisis in a sense.
For a lot of people,
because
it was.
You went from nothing and then you had all the success and then you got to sort of start over and figure it out. It's a lot because you
have to regrow.
And you're
up.
Like, how old?
Yeah.
How old were you?
At that time, I think I was like, well, when I had my first kid, it was a very, almost like the last tour. I was 23, 24 years old.
Oh my God.
How old's your oldest?
Crazy.
17. She's a senior this year.
That's
at
crazy.
Dr. Phillips?
No. At Lake Highland.
Oh, at Lake Highland?
Yeah.
Entertainment? They sing?
Hell no. The little one does, but the older one can care less. I actually, when we were in LA, she got hired to do a job for YouTube, some sort of like little skit thing where she had to play a best friend and make dog biscuits or some crap.
Right.
I was there the whole time. I was like the freaking father.
Yeah,
like
stage
watching
dad.
Over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I shut my mouth and she was like, I was like, what'd you think? Did you like it? She was like, oh, it was really cool. I said, you want to do it again? She's like, nope. I'm like, why? She goes, I can't get into it. She's like, it's not
for everybody. That's why I tell everyone.
I was like, you know what? I said, that's fine. A lot of people ask me too. They're like, oh, your kids, are they going to become actors? And I said, you know what? I said, when the time is right, when they feel as if they want to do something. But my older one got a hold of a bow. She does archery and she's into forensics. She's going to be, she wants to do forensic pathology.
Oh my God.
So it's crazy. Yeah. I'm like, you're smart. Awesome. Where the hell did that come from? You go.
Yeah.
My other one, she's nuts. She's on the spectrum of autism.
Is she really?
She is awesome. Yeah, she is.
Oh,
she's okay. On the spectrum, but it's like
what's
it's
her weird thing?
When I say spectrum. She's not like not a whole lot of. She'll make eye contact with you, but she will definitely go off. Has little quirks here and there, nothing crazy as far as what people normally adhere to when they have autism.
Well, usually there's also like some sort of gift that they have that they're really specialized in. What's her thing?
She used to freak the hell out when we used to make U-turns when she was really young, like really young. She knew for some reason she would cry and go, literally about 2 years old, you're going the wrong way.
So she's got like a direction. I'm like,
Chloe, we're not going the wrong way. We're going the right. She's very, everything
right.
has to be right. in order.
I have friends who are like in order. That.
So it's almost like a little bit of an ADHD per se. The attention span goes
sounds
on and off.
Sounds a little
off.
Bit like you, Ella.
It's a lot like me.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely on the spectrum.
Oh, you are.
I think
there's
a lot more people on the spectrum in the world that don't know that they really are, I'm sure.
You are definitely far down on the spectrum.
Okay, well, you're far down with your belly. Okay? How's that?
It's just an observation.
Yeah. So you're going through the divorce. You're going to be paying a shitload of money.
Right.
Oh my God.
Well, he is. Let's see. She has probably hasn't worked in years, right?
No, starting now.
How many years have you been married?
We were married. It was still in a sense, but not technically together. It's been about 20 years.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh yeah. You're going to be paying a lot of money.
No, not a whole lot. It's called prenup.
Did you have a prenup?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But is it hold up are, after two kids? No.
But Luke Here's Perlman the crazy drew thing. It up.
Basically, well, the funny thing you say that, not that Luke Perlman drew it up, but my first accountant drew it up. So a lot of it is old.
Right.
Meaning there's nothing in there for my second child. There's nothing that has to do with anything with my second child. We haven't did any of that kind of stuff or taken in consideration. So we had to definitely go in there and kind of figure out little
she
things.
She has her own home.
She has her own place. Yeah.
And you have your own place. Yep. You opened a restaurant, like a hot dog stand
I had a place in the Florida Mall. It was in the Florida Mall.
You still have it?
No, God, no. The rent is ridiculous there.
I know. My dad had a store in the Florida Mall as well. Dude. I used to live in the Florida Mall.
It's crazy. Have you ever been there?
Oh, I've been. Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's changed a lot.
It's
now.
A lot changed. And the rent.
Thank God.
Because my dad went to go look at a new store there. I was like, Dad, you're retired.
Why?
I'm like, but he's passionate about opening like businesses.
Right.
I'm like, you're done. Khaled's paying for everything. Calm the fuck down. Like, stop.
Right.
He's like, no, I want to open a store. And he goes and sees the rent is like, I mean,
no. For 275 square foot, where we were at, it was about $13,000 a month.
Yeah.
What?
$13,000 a month.
Why wouldn't you?
And we were breaking even because we wanted to try it out and not. We didn't want to fail overly miserably if we actually got a store, did everything else, and then it just didn't do well. At least there was traffic to find out if the numbers were right.
What was it called?
Fat Ones.
See, I think you made a mistake here because I love the name. I love the concept. It was a hot dog place, right?
We're still doing it. I mean, we had a trailer for a while. We had a food trailer for a while. And now we actually might, it was literally a trailer. It wasn't even a food truck.
Like
it was massive.
Okay.
We had a massive, because this went balls to the wall.
But here's your problem. Again, you go too big.
Well, not big enough. Now, if it was too big, I would have franchised that shit already and would have been like, yeah, whatever. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, but a trailer, you could have got a streamliner, you know, or whatever, but you have to get the fucking deluxe pop out, blah, blah, blah.
But you
should have went into it. First of all, malls are done, right? In the sense of like,
as we find that, I mean, there's still traffic.
And Florida Mall is very different because it caters to tourists. Yeah. It's right next to the airport. It caters to tourists.
Like Disney, everything.
Yeah. Like that. Uh-huh. So that's, you can't use that as a gauge.
Right.
You should have went into an open air shopping center type thing.
Like
your name sells it itself. I can totally see.
So far so good. But the interesting thing about it is we've never been in the restaurant business or any of that food industry. So we don't know anything about that. So we literally have dove into it. Obviously, we asked people, but we didn't want anybody else to take control over it. That's the hardest part. So we've been learning legitimately. It's not like I went, oh, slap my name on it. That's great.
Right.
Where can we find it?
Right now, we might be working into conversations with Fun Spot, believe it or not. And you know Fun Spot. It's a lot of places down south and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
We might be actually working with them.
Like
do a concept thing with them for a little bit. They have 22 locations. So it's something to start out there that they can basically deal with. put my name on it, obviously oversee it, make sure everything's all right, and see how that goes, and then slowly build
it. So
out.
Is it hot? What is it? Give me the menu.
It's basically the ideas that we've come up with now. It's okay, we didn't reinvent the freaking hot dog, but like one's called Gone Hollywood, which has guacamole, diced tomatoes, and mozzarella cheese on it. We did one called a Boy Bandit, which was 5 mini hot dogs, and perfect. It was a sampler of each one.
Is one so, black?
No.
Oh.
We probably have an urban dog. Yeah, we wanted to have an urban dog. Yeah. But we do things. It's crazy. We have one called Gone Hollywood. No one called Mac Daddy, which is mac and cheese and bacon on it. We have one called the Fat One, which is ginormous. It's like our staple one that we, our signature one. It's literally the hot dog's about 8 ounces. It's the size of my forearm. It has nacho cheese, mozzarella cheese, pepperoni, corned beef.
Oh my God.
French fries on top. I mean, it's a heart attack waiting to happen.
And, now I just want hot dogs.
And I've tasted all of them. And that's the thing. I've eaten all of them. I tried all of them.
We can see that.
There's exactly. Have you been eating hot dogs
that
too?
Sounds so
listen, we're pregnant.
And then we do. We're pregnant.
Well, her pregnancy has been affecting me too. It's a nightmare.
The sympathy pains.
I get the heartburn. I got you.
We're you eat for two. I got you.
I can't. It's too
he's
much.
He's like, you call me at night and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm about to have my nightly ice cream. He's like, I just had a pint of, and I'm like, what'd you have?
Halo?
We compare.
Halo?
No, I had a Häagen-Dazs vanilla with chocolate covered
almonds.
Halo.
It's less calories.
I'm not listen. I am a creature of habit. There's like two hot. There's two types of ice cream that I like. I like. I'm a vanilla kind of guy.
The Häagen-Dazs vanilla.
I like the Häagen-Dazs vanilla. And then I'll go to the extreme and have an everything but the from Ben and Jerry's because I love the everything but the.
I'm really on the Dove bar kick right now.
I've been
I
on
like
Halo.
A bar.
Halo.
Well.
Anyway, so you're doing the restaurant. I mean, you do this guy. He says no to nothing.
We're basically doing a bunch of different things as far as with the foods and stuff. We also do a thing called Brooklyn Bites. So we're doing like we did an Italian egg roll. Basically, it's meatball sauce and cheese wrapped and deep fried in egg roll.
What?
We also do open face like meatball sliders.
Family running it?
No, not yet. We've been talking about doing stuff like that and coming up with different other recipes and actually using my dad's sauce recipe and using it for it. We haven't done, like I said, it's all about the creative process and understanding and so learning how those shit goes in and out.
They jump into everything. At one point, he opened a theater school.
Was it me?
Well, it was part, you owned part of it.
No, I basically paid for it. Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
Karen,
I was like,
Gary wanted to write a book. That's what happened.
Yeah, Regario, our acting teacher who taught Wayne Brady, Joey, myself, she's amazing. In fact, they're talking about
naming the
theater right? after her.
Yeah, she's a good tough cookie. Like you'll say, a lot of people.
She taught Wesley Snipes.
Mm. Oh wow!
Like she's
she's no joke. And you see that. And the funny part, the reason why I say you see that is there's many parents that always were going to the school going, well, she yelled at my daughter today, and this and that. Like they're so weak, and it's like. But that's the tough love. That's what don't understand.
Like what she did to us.
You get an eraser thrown at your head. Yeah.
What she did to us would not fly today.
People you know
what
I
mean? It was the all in the family of like schooling. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like our music teacher, Beth Meadows, used to have the choir throw me in the lake when I pissed her off. Like literally, and it wasn't a lake. It was a sewage pond.
Wasn't there somebody found dead in that thing one time?
Yeah. She used to be like, grab them boys. And like the whole bass section would come arms and legs and literally swing me into the, and
that's
she's like,
amazing.
We were horrible kids.
It was the tough love though. And that's the thing. That's the weirdest thing. Cause you see all that come out of that school, which is crazy.
But yeah.
She was one of the ones where it was like, you know what? Get it right.
You want fame? Fame costs. Throw a line in the lake.
Yeah, she's no joke. She's no joke, but she's really good. Her directorial style is very, she's very, much like Kristen Hange.
Yeah.
She makes a picture, right? Yeah. She has the picture in her head of what it looked like. Her tech skills are insane. She built a revolve for Little Shop of Horrors.
Right.
The whole show was
that. We used that for Grease for the summer stuff.
Yeah.
One of our things.
Yeah. I mean, she.
Like a legit revolve. And people are like, oh, well, people from Universal used to build.
But at the same time, like Joey, she's got bigger things on her brain and she thinks she's going to like, so then they do Grease with theater.
That was at the convention center.
And they hire Alfonso Ribeiro.
They tried to do a union show.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
And
I lost my voice and I was playing Danny Zuko.
Oh, no.
I looked at it and I said, listen to me. You don't want me as Danny Zuko. I'm not Danny Zuko. I even said it. I said, maybe when I was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
I'm not Danny Zuko now.
No.
I said, you gotta do something. And they're like, she's like, no, I want you to do it because your name and this and that. And I'm like, okay, well, let me be part of the casting process then. I want to be a part of that because I want to see who the heck you're hiring.
Right.
And it was interesting.
Didn't go well.
No. It went.
How much money did you spend on that?
I didn't spend anything on that.
Oh, you didn't?
They paid me.
Oh, good.
They actually paid me.
I thought you...
Under than what I would normally obviously do, but I did it for her and everything else and is what it is.
Was it a big... whatever. Anyways, it's a whole thing. So now you're in the middle of this divorce. Okay?
Yes.
You're about to... Okay.
So I want to know, is it weird? I mean, it's been 5 years, obviously. You're in this mediation. I'm sure at some point you're starting to move on. Are you dating? Is it weird to go out and be like, hi, I'm Joey Fatone. I'm going to find a date.
It was a while ago, but at first it was definitely interesting because it was one of those things of like, okay, what do I do? Like, I'm not going to just go out and go, hi, I'm going to go to a bar.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I do? And obviously people started telling me about all the different apps. And I was like, well, I can't go on Grindr.
You may not get what you're looking for.
What I wanted. But I actually was like, you know what? Screw it. And I didn't really tell many people. I was like, let me go on Tinder. And I was on Tinder and whatever the hell. And I didn't.
And you're swiping.
And I started learning, but I'm just saying learning that people don't know if they've never been on it, that it
what
basically
picture
hooks up.
Do you use on Tinder?
Yeah,
are you using your album picture? Like your NSYNC photo?
I actually took a picture. I was by the Alamo I was hosting one of my cooking shows and I happened to be in Texas. And I literally was in front of the Alamo. And the first picture I took was just
You have to send us this picture so we could put it on our Instagram.
I don't even know. I got
to
look for it. I don't even know if I have it.
Oh, we'll find
it. But the funny part about it is people were taking pictures of it and then posting it on theirs. Which was weird because there was a few ones that people were sending me that friends of mine that were on Tinder were like, hey, are you on?
He couldn't get off it,
I was still on it basically. And I was like,
no. People were like using your picture for their profile?
Yes.
Who goes on Tinder when you're Joey Fatone? He could have gone on Raya. He can't even get on Raya.
Well, Raya I didn't even know about. Raya wasn't even invented basically.
He wouldn't be approved for Raya.
I couldn't even afford Raya at that time.
By the way, guys, Raya, if you don't know, is the celebrity Tinder and you have to be approved.
It's a whole thing.
And you have to pay.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I didn't do it. No.
How much is it?
I have no idea. Somebody told me about it though.
So you go on Tinder.
So I go on Tinder and I met a few people. People don't believe it was me. They didn't believe it was me.
So how do you like, so do you like, let's meet for coffee or cause Tinder is like,
yeah, because I didn't, here's the thing. Yeah. It's a hookup, but that's the thing. I didn't do it that way. I didn't be like, hey baby, you want to hook up? It wasn't that kind of thing. It was where less
Joey.
For me. No, I'll tell you for me. I even said it. At that point in my life, at that time, I didn't have anybody in a sense. And I loved always being a companion with somebody. So I was like, you know what? You want to hang out, have a couple of drinks and sit and watch freaking TV, literally like Netflix and chill. I am down. When I met some of these people that I talked to and went on a date with, basically, I didn't click. Some of the stuff, I didn't even hear them sometimes. It was like, the Peanuts, when they go wah, 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 that's exactly what I heard. Or their voice was annoying and I didn't want to hear them. And finally, and it's interesting, what I was about to say is with Tinder, you're linked up to your Facebook, not to show that you can see that you're linked up. But if I'm a friend with you, say, for instance, I can see all your friends and it will say if we're connected to our friends. So it's like, for instance, on your Facebook page, you'll see, oh my God, Wayne Brady.
Oh my God,
you know Joe Mobile.
Right.
Got it.
Basically, a friend of mine, years ago, I was on this, on a tour with the guys from No Mercy. Where did you go?
Yeah.
We became kind of friends and we've hung out a bunch of times over in Germany. This is years ago now. All of a sudden, I'm Tinder, flash forward now, on Tinder, and I see that there's Ariel, one of the guys, was connected to this girl that I saw on Tinder. I was like, oh, she's kind of cute. So I started messenger, talking to her for a little bit, not thinking anything of it. And I was like, I was so over the dating bullshit as far as like going out on an actual date and looking one-on-one. Got drunk one night and I was looking at my Tinder and I was like, I see this girl. I'm like, let's see if I can FaceTime her. So I message and I was like, hey, what are you doing? It's like, nothing. She just got home, I think, from something or whatever. And I said, I just got home. Said, let me see what your face looks like. Cause I don't know if it's real. I'm like, I don't know if your name is Bob and you weigh 800 pounds. I have no idea. So FaceTime me right now. She's like, well, I don't look. I said, I don't care. Just FaceTime.
FaceTime you. That means you're giving her your number.
I gave her my number. Yeah. I gave her my
number. Dangerous.
FaceTimed her. This girl, her name was Isabel. I was like, oh, hey, what's up? I looked at her. I was like, holy shit, she's actually pretty and she's a real person. So I was like, all right. I said, listen, I'd love to go out, but I don't want to make it like a big date. I said, a buddy of mine invited me to Universal for Halloween Horror Nights here in LA. You want to come? I said, it's with a group of people. I said, some people I know, some people I don't. You want to go? She's like, well, I've already been, but screw it. I'm down. So she comes and meets me at a buddy of mine's house, basically a middle ground level. I wasn't going to say, hey, come meet at my house. That sounds too creepy, but it does sound even creepier if it's at a friend's house, but he literally lives 5 minutes away from Universal. So I said, meet me there. We'll meet up and we'll go.
Whose house?
Rizzo, my boy Rob.
Oh, okay.
Rizzo. I follow those boys.
Yeah.
So we go. She meets up with me. I'm looking at her. I'm like, oh, she's pretty hot. Okay, cool. She's got these jeans with a flannel shirt on. Right? Yeah, okay. Anyway, so she has a flannel shirt on and everything else. So I'm like, all right, so she's cute. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just break the ice. Let's just get fucking drunk. So we go to Saddle Ranch and we're all having shots. I'm like, you drink? She's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, we'll do tequila. Dude, she does tequila. I do, you know, rum, blah, blah, blah. So now we're getting a good buzz going on. We go into Halloween Horror Nights with a group of people.
Wait, hold on. You do shots of rum. That's your shot?
I've done it. Yeah, Captain. I can do
shots. But that's your go-to?
In the South, Christine.
Yeah, I don't do tequila. I can't do it.
Yeah, in the South, we do Captain and Coke. Captain. Yeah.
Captain is a
wild turkey.
Yeah, spiced
shots,
rum.
Shots and, you know, of rum. That's just
I mean,
funny.
That's
okay,
just
continue.
In the South, that's what we do.
Okay, right. Great.
That's
how we roll. I was just
sometimes it's
short.
Bourbon, sometimes it's
yeah, go ahead, Joey. I'm sorry she interrupted you.
That's all right. It happens. It's okay. What do you shoot, even though you can't right now?
She can't.
Well, if I'm going to do shots, it's mostly tequila.
Yeah, I can't do it. So she does tequila shots anyway. I can't do it. I'll throw up. And we started, obviously, we're standing on a line and we start making out. And all of a sudden, one of my friend Mike looks at some other friend that was with them that I never met. They're like, oh my God, how long they've been dating? And Mike goes, they just met. And I was like, really? I was like, why are they making out like that? And I guess obviously we were drunk. We were feeling it. We were kissing each other, whatever. Anyway, now fast forward to 4 years later, pretty much about 3.5 years.
We happen to be with Miss Izzy. She's here today. She's very lovely and very sweet.
Lovely.
She's working. Sorry. But yeah, it's interesting how that all evolves and how that has gone to, cause I wasn't really even looking for something serious. And I even said to her, I said, listen, I'm not looking for anything serious. She's like, shit, me neither. I'm like, cool.
She met the kids.
She's met the kids.
And the ex.
She's met the ex.
And is the ex dating?
I have no idea, actually.
Really?
Possibly.
Well, this is a story I've not heard.
No, I don't think anybody has a story yet.
I mean, this is like a Tinder success.
Who has? They're out there, believe it or not, it's so funny because sometimes we've had a conversation and people are like, oh my God, we met on Tinder too. You're like, really? Because people always ask, like, exactly, like, how do they not recognize? I said, well, I just put it out
there. Well, I just say,
not blurted it out and go, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm on here. But I was just looking for some sort of a companion, something that I can actually hang out and have a conversation with.
How long were you on it before you, like,
only about it, maybe about a year, right? About a year, I want to say. If that,
I can't believe you're on Tinder.
If that, well, not anymore.
That's so funny. It's just great. I mean, it's great. It's a success story.
But it's really weird. It's like one of those things because we had, even though she's Brazilian and she's obviously from a different country, but she lived in Tampa most of her life, her young years. But we have so much. I guess it's weird. There's a lot of stuff in common,
right.
And we get along so well with kind of what we do.
Right.
And it's completely different, I think, because it's something. And it's weird for me, though, too, because, again, I've been with somebody that knew me from the very beginning with nothing to something to
somewhat
massive
something. Yeah.
To somewhat something now. Yeah. You know, so it's one of those things where it's like, do you trust that person? How do I trust her? How do I trust anybody for that matter?
Well, yeah, that's
and
my
what
thing.
You do. And, how you know, it was more or less of literally it was like, again, just hanging out. Hey, let's just hang out. Great, cool. She'd come over after work. We watch a movie, chill, whatever, you know, and it was that and leading up to where one of the times I brought one of my buddies, Matt, my friend Matt with me and Izzy, because I didn't want my kids to know at that moment that I was with them. So I was like, this is Matt's friend, Isabel.
Right.
And that's smart.
Here's a story that you never heard that I've never said. All of a sudden my daughter, my older one, she was probably what, 15, 16 at the time, not that long ago. She's like, who's Isabel? I've never said anything to her. So first year we started dating. I was like, how do you know this? Like, what's the deal? She's like, well, there's an app for my school that makes you like anonymous names, but you know that everybody's in the school all together. And someone asked and said, hey, we saw, you know, Instagram on you and on your dad and then saw this girl that has a bunch of pictures of your dad. And then I was like, huh? And obviously my daughter knew that I was separate and everything else, of course, but she didn't know that I had a girlfriend at the time. So she's like, well, who's Isabel? I was like, holy shit, how do you know that? I was like, what?
Oh my God.
So I was like, I'm not going to lie to you, obviously. I said, I've been dating her for almost a year now, and this is what's happening. I know I was not trying to keep it away from you, but I wanted to make sure, believe it or not, that if it's serious, I want to introduce you to my girlfriend, but who knows? Maybe it might've been something that we didn't know and didn't work out. But as we started to, it was like, you know what? You have to meet her. I mean, I'm hanging out with her. She's flying back and forth now to Orlando and stuff like that. So it's like, we got to do something.
Yeah.
So it was a weird thing at first.
And the now kids with the Instagram. I mean, I still can't figure out the Instagram.
That and Snapchat. It's the worst.
I don't. I can't do Snapchat. Forget it.
I try.
Your brother's the king of that. My brother's the king. I think he owns Snapchat.
He probably has a piece of Snapchat. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
I couldn't figure out the Snapchat. And I was like trying to figure it out because of him. And I was like,
do you know what the kids do now?
What?
They do half their faces. They take pictures. That's what my older one does. She'll do a Snapchat picture and take a picture of half the face. Not all of it. Half. And it's got to be angled or it's weird. Or it's like, yeah. What the hell?
And they also don't like, they don't text even. They only message each other through the apps.
Yeah. And now there's an app that does all, you can connect everybody and talk to everyone. So like you'll FaceTime everybody now.
I don't know how to do it.
But they'll even sit in rooms and not speak and just message each other.
Yeah. No, I know.
Cause they're, it's
no.
Like, hey, there's really cool. This, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. You know how I am.
There's a girl that you like, but you've never actually talked to her in person. You've only ever messaged her.
It's changed.
You write a letter and say,
she's sitting right there. Go talk to her.
Whatever happens, do you like me? Yes, no, maybe.
That's not happening anymore. It's not happening anymore, Joey. We're old.
No, they go, hey, you want to bump fuzz? I mean, that's how it goes now. It doesn't even go.
What'd you say?
You want to bump fuzz?
What? That's horrible.
Bubuglies?
What kind? You're raising two daughters. What is wrong with you?
What do you mean what's wrong with me? People talk like that all the time, regardless if they have daughters or not.
Oh my God. You're going to lose custody too.
No. You're going to pay
a shitload of money to your ex and you're going to lose custody.
My job is to make sure my kids do not end up on the pole. That's all.
Oh,
that's all you got to do.
I don't think you're going to have that issue.
Well, no, my first one, yes, not on the pole. Second one, I'm scared of.
Where does she want to go to college, your first one?
My first one, she doesn't know yet. We've actually visited a bunch of different ones. Went to UCLA. We went to Stanford. We went
I helped
to
your niece Texas A&M. With my cousin who was at UCLA. Your ex-wife's
now I can't think of her.
Yeah, because I set her up with my cousin who was going to UCLA to give her a tour of the
her brother Keith's kid.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah. That's good. She's about to go to college.
Victoria.
Yeah, she's about to go to college now, mm-hmm. And then you have the. How is that going to work? Like, you're going to live in LA part time and Orlando.
It depends on where she goes. I mean, I'm not going to go where she goes in a sense. But no, she's even looking at Texas A&M. But I'm bouncing. Yeah, I'm bouncing.
You're going to bounce back and forth.
I'm bouncing back and forth even now. Yeah, I'm in LA and Orlando most of the time.
Oh my God. All right. So you have a couple of projects that are coming up we cannot talk about.
Right. There's a few projects that will be coming out within the next year. So I can't talk about crap about that, but I can talk about other crap that I
have.
What I have right now that's out, that's the second season is going to be coming out though, is also on Netflix. I did a voice character for a cartoon called Harvey Street Kids. It's with DreamWorks and Netflix. So Harvey Street Kids, I did a voiceover for them and it's actually cool. It's a boy band called Crush For You. And it's me, Nick Lachey, Sean Stockman from Boys to Men.
How funny.
And Joey McIntyre. So it's the four of us.
That's so
and
funny.
And I don't even know what the song, we sang the songs and everything. It's actually cool because we even laid down harmonies and vocals and all this other stuff.
You were never in the room together?
Never in the room. So I have no idea what it sounds like together. Which is gonna
when
be fun
does that come out?
The first season is out now. And I'm not sure exactly when the second season is going to come out because obviously now Netflix, they just throw everything out
there. What's it called again?
Harvey Street Kids. And then I also have Impractical Jokers After Party. I did obviously Impractical Jokers with those guys. It's on True TV. Yeah.
My husband loves that show.
Episodes right now.
It's called
After
Party.
Yeah, it's an after. Basically, it's a wrap up of the episode that you watch that night. So Thursday nights, I have a new episodes. I'm shooting four more episodes in October, and also they shot a movie, so that's not going to come out until next year. So I do a little cameo in that, which is going to be pretty funny. And there's a cruise coming up for Impractical Jokers coming up.
I want to do a cruise with them.
Come. February, January, February.
Where are you going?
I think the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's a cheap. It's like a carnival.
But like they're doing pranks to people on the cruise.
Some of them will do their stand up. Then they'll call out bingo numbers. It's amazing. Joe Gatto. I don't understand how he does it. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't. He's eats just fish. He's Episcopalian, whatever the hell you call it. And
Episcopalian.
Yeah. Episcopalian.
Not
the
what,
right.
What are they
called? Episcopalian.
Yep.
It's
eats fish.
Well,
I'm Muslim.
Shalom.
Okay.
And it's crazy. He's up until 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning jumping around doing karaoke. And I'm like, dude, how do you function?
He's just like high on
without
life.
Just coffee. I think that's what it is.
You do like a con circuit too?
I own a company called Level Up, which I have a bunch of different celebrities, but even myself, okay, I do the autograph signings.
Here's what I want to do, Joey. Here's what I want to fucking do.
Oh, God.
Look at me. Here's the next business op. We want to do PodCon.
PodCon?
PodCon.
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 So we would do like all the like big podcasts and they would be to a whole.
Right.
Like we want to do like a Radio Row kind of thing.
Well, we can figure that out.
Can you make that happen?
Well, the beauty part about that is people always want to go to the San Diego Comic-Con because it's so big and so ridiculous. Don't do
I don't want to do that.
Go to the smaller ones.
Oh, yeah,
no,
yeah.
I want to do small. Let's do a PodCon. Figure out, we'll do it in Orlando.
We can do that. No, we can do a bunch of them. There's obviously a bunch of them in Florida, but like you do like the Knoxville one or
yeah.
You do the Rhode Island Con, which is a big one too.
And we'll just do like, we'll do a PodCon with a bunch of different podcasts.
You can do that. I'm sure everybody else has thought of that already. I'm sure
I don't think they have, Joey.
Just not typically you two guys, exactly.
Right.
It's not as it's not going to be
as good.
It's a
good idea, though, because then you could do some live.
Yeah, we could do some live, and then they can meet the actual, you know. All right, so you have
con people.
Yeah.
So you do the con thing. You're all over the place. You got your restaurant. It's all about hot dogs. You're getting your haircut today.
Yep.
You did the Bosley.
Yep.
It didn't work.
Twice.
It did work.
It's just the other hair.
I mean,
hair,
it's not.
The other hair that's coming out is the old hair that has been in before. Okay.
Oh.
He did the Bosley,
so
guys.
Think about that.
He did the Bosley.
Hell yeah. Hey, girls do their tits. Right. I did my hair.
All right. Okay. All right.
All right. Where can we find you on all the social?
Well, instead of the fake Joey Fatone, you can find me at Real Joey Fatone. Yes, that's right. At Real Joey Fatone. And it's on Instagram and Twitter. And then what else?
He's raising two. He's raising two children.
Not on the Tinder. I'm not on the Tinder anymore.
So if you see him on the Tinder, it's not really him.
It's not really him. He's in love.
What's even funny is I get text messages from people, like I said, with people in the picture with me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, literally just, basically it's like, you know, when they hold a kitten or a cat or they're flexing.
Right.
That's them flexing. It's a picture with me and them.
You know what you'd be great doing? You should do like a host on HQ.
Oh, why?
Oh, I think it's hilarious.
Is it good?
It's, you don't do it?
No.
I'm obsessed.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched HQ.
He has too much time on his
head.
I think you, yeah,
you got to watch HQ.
You should get pregnant or something.
I know. Well, I am. I mean, you don't understand the fucking
you
nightmare.
You literally have twins.
Okay. Well, listen, triplets. What a fucking dick, Bosley. What? okay.
This Joey, thank you for coming.
Oh, are you kidding me? My pleasure. You know what? It sucks because there's just not enough time in the world. We'll have to do this again.
No, we will
to.
Do it again because after these other shows that are coming out that we can't talk about,
I have to talk to you about these shows.
These shows that are coming. By the way, we know what's happening and it's amazing.
It's going to be interesting. The beginning of January is going to be probably interesting. I'll just go from there and that's all.
Yeah. I can't wait.
We'll have you back on to talk about
that. I definitely want to talk about that.
Hell yeah.
All right. You can find me at Alec Led. Don't ask.
You can find me at Yo Lakin. And you can find Worst Ever Podcast at Worst Ever Podcast and Worst Ever PC on Twitter. Email us at worsteverpodcast@gmail.com.
And buy some merch.
Want some merch.
You got merch?
Yeah,
you
got merch. For you, dude.
Holy shiznit.
There's a hat for Joey.
Worsteverpodcast.com.
I didn't know who to wear that right now.
It's all right.
Oh,
we're going to take a picture.
Just put it on. We're going to sell this one that
this
he has.
This is the worst ever podcast.
On his Bosley head.
Yeah.
This is the worst ever podcast.
Worst ever podcast.com. Get your merchandise.
Thanks for listening. We'll hear you next week.
Bye.
Bye.